All right. Well, let's get started. We've got 30 minutes. And so nice to meet you, and I really appreciate your time during this interview just to start off. So the first I'd like to is get your name, have you say your name, spell it, and then your rank, your hometown. Well, actually, I've got all that on your bio, so let's skip that part. Let's just talk a little bit about your education and your family and military history in your family.
Okay, ma'am. I have 23 years active duty federal service. I've been married to my lovely wife, Heather, for 21 years. We have two children, Rebecca, who is 18, and Ryan, who is 17. My hometown, we currently live in just outside of Fort Hood, a little city called Kempner, Texas.
Oh, say that again. I'm not hearing it. I don't think our connection is really good. In a place called where?
Kempner, K-E-M-P-N-E-R.
K-E-M-P-N-E-R. Okay. Are you speaking on a cell phone?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's probably part of it. So, are you on a speakerphone?
No, ma'am.
Oh, you're not. Okay, good. Okay. All right, and do you have any military history in your family?
Yes, ma'am. My father was in the Navy for about 4 years, and he got out in San Diego, so I ended up growing up in San Diego.
Oh, okay. It's a great place to grow up, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am, absolutely. It's beautiful.
What led you to the Army?
What led me to the Army? Gosh. Well, I ran into a recruiter one day at school, and he told me about all the great things, and I really was kind of a directionless 17-year-old kid, and it sounded great, and so that's the direction I took.
Okay. What particular thing did he say that that struck you?
Well, he just talked about how there are different places you could go visit and see and all the different kinds of people you can meet. Because I was in a small town in San Diego, a small little rural community, but the type of people you met and the culture was just very distinct to that, you know? And then being able to join the service, you're able to meet and greet so many different kinds of people from so many different types of cultures.
Right, okay. And what year was that?
I joined in 1991.
1990, okay. And what was your MOS? You went through basic training. What area did you
end up in? I was a combat medic, man, which was a six. At the time, was a 91 Alpha, but is now a 68 Whiskey.
Okay, so combat medic?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what kind of training did you go through for that?
Well, during this, it was a 12-week training program, and we went through National Registry EMT course, as well as field trauma training.
Okay. All right. And how long did that take?
That was a 10-week program, ma'am.
It's what? I'm sorry.
10 weeks, ma'am.
10 weeks. Okay.
Can you hold for just a quick second, ma'am?
Pardon me?
No, sorry. Go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah, I apologize because our connection is usually a little clearer through Divots, and I don't understand why it's not as clear as it usually is. So hopefully the recording will be fine on this.
Hopefully.
I apologize for re-asking questions because of it. All right.
No problem.
Anyway, I'm wondering if we should try it again because I am having quite a bit of difficulty hearing you clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if maybe you just called me directly from your cell phone. That might work.
We should try that.
Try that?
We try that. Let me get a pen.
No, let's not do that. Then we wouldn't get the Divots recording. So, let's just keep going. I'm going to hope for the best. Okay.
Okay.
technical issues. They always are fun.
Yes.
So what was your areas of responsibility before your illness?
I was a physician assistant. I worked for the 3rd Cavalry Regiment.
Okay, and what do you do as a physician assistant?
My primary responsibility is working for the brigade surgeon and assisting her in maintaining patient care, as well as tracking the medical requirements with our soldiers in the regiment, making sure that everyone is up to date on immunizations and dental and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. And did you have any deployments that were memorable before your illness came on?
Well, I had 2 deployments, ma'am. Qatar and one in Iraq.
You went to Iraq and where?
Qatar.
Qatar, okay. And what did you do in Qatar?
Qatar, I was the clinic NCOIC, the NCO in charge now, of the medical facility on the installation. I was responsible for maintaining all the medical care for all the service members that came through Camp Ossalia.
Okay, can you spell that camp, what that camp was?
I could not spell it if I tried.
Oh, really?
Camp Ossalia. That's all I can say it, but I can't write it.
Okay, it starts with an O, right?
With an A, ma'am.
With an A, okay. Okay, maybe I can find out. What year was that?
2003-2004, ma'am.
Okay, great. Okay, and so you were responsible for the medical care of service members, Army service members that came through Qatar, right, at that camp?
Yes, ma'am. Well, there were certain contractors that had medical attention authorized in their contract that we took care of as well, the expatriates and stuff.
Okay.
But those were far fewer than the amount of soldiers we had.
All right. Let's see. What's your current status and role in the Army?
I'm currently active duty still, ma'am.
Okay. You currently are active duty?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And what are you doing now? Are you reserves or National Guard? Are you still in your same? Are you still a combat medic?
No, I'm a physician assistant, and I'm just going through recovery right now since the injury.
Okay. Okay. What was your reaction to your illness? What is that anyway? Maybe just describe it a little bit.
My injury, ma'am?
Your illness? Or was it, your bio said you got, it was from an injury, not an illness?
Well, kind of a combination, ma'am. I cut my heel, which got infected, and with the streptococcus virus, okay, which resulted in necrotizing fasciitis.
Oh, okay. And what were you doing when you cut your heel?
I'm sorry?
What were you doing when you cut your heel?
I was just coming out of my attic. I was rearranging some things in the attic, and as I was coming down, I caught my foot on the hinge for the attic door, and I bandaged it up, cleaned it up, but apparently it wasn't enough.
Oh, okay. So, and then it got infected? It's a complication from your cut then that led to you losing your leg?
Yes, ma'am. The infection set in. I went to the emergency room the next day, and within 48 hours from that point, I was in a coma, and the amputated leg.
I'll tell you don't mess around with infections, do you?
No, ma'am, you don't mess with infections.
I remember my husband got some weird thing, and it's like, if you hadn't gotten in here, you would have been, could have killed him.
Oh, yes, absolutely. If my wife hadn't been there, if she'd been gone visiting her family that weekend, then I wouldn't have made it, because she's the one who took me to the ER.
Okay. And how long did it, when you found out that they had to take your leg, what was your reaction, and then how long did it did it take to recover from the amputation?
Well, ma'am, I don't have any memory of that. I was in a coma for 6 weeks, and I woke up without a leg.
Oh, okay, okay. You were in a coma that long. Wow. Well, you sound like there's a miracle that happened there.
I feel like there's a miracle, yes.
Absolutely. I've had some of those in my life, too. Just no medical explanation.
Yes, ma'am.
So what was your reaction when you woke up and discovered you didn't have one of your legs?
Shock, disbelief. I didn't know what was going on because I was in a different city than where I went to bed in my bed on February 28th, and I woke up April 15th in San Antonio. So I was just, I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't understand initially.
I can imagine. That is a long time to be in a coma.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I'm so glad they didn't give up on you, you know. How long did it take you to recover? Were you recovered from the actual surgery by the time you woke up?
Yes, ma'am. The wound is healed up. You know, all the sutures have been removed. Most of the sutures have been removed at that point. So it was...
Wow, that is just blows my mind that, you know, all that took place and you were still in a coma.
Yes, ma'am.
The body works, you know,
yes,
even
ma'am.
When we're not awake. You know, it's really miraculous. So how did you have to adapt your life and your Army career from that point?
Well, everything changed. I had to figure out, I had to be creative and innovative in how to do everything that I used to do before, you know? I no longer could I just walk around and, you know, make a bed and then go over and do this and go over and do that. And everything takes planning. And I have to think outside of the box of normal on how I'm going to do something.
Right. Okay. And it says that the how long would you say the adjustment period was, or is it just a continual lifelong adjustment? Where you really felt, did you get a prosthetic right away, or did it that take a while?
The adjustment actually, I think for me, was pretty quick because there was no build-up to losing the leg. It was just gone, you know? So, hey, you have to deal with it immediately, you know? I got a prosthetic about 6 months or so after losing the leg.
Okay. All right, and I imagine that was quite an adjustment, trying to learn how to use that. And now
I learned
how
to walk again. Yes, ma'am.
How did the Warrior Transition Unit help you overcome this?
Oh, their staff has been absolutely amazing. Their resources, unbelievable. But the people themselves, look, that's where the real asset is, because they care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go the extra mile.
I imagine. Well, how's it been training for, is this your first Army Warrior Trials? Isn't this the second year of the event?
This is my first Warrior Trials and first year of training now.
Okay, and give me the highlights of the training. What does it take to train to be in these games?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I need to clarify. I meant to say Army Trials, not Warrior Trials.
Yeah, they listed it on the fact sheet as, it does say Army Trials. I'm sorry, I stuck the Warrior in there. I think I read it used to be called something else. And then I got the old name, I think. Okay, so tell me about the training. How hard has it been for you, and what does it take?
The training has been wonderful, but very, very strenuous. You know, we're busy from 8:15 in the morning till about 9 o'clock at night every night, competing in different events. As an example, yesterday I did cycling for about 15 or 20 miles and learning different techniques on turns and braking capabilities. And then the afternoon was swimming, and we were focused on, like, the backstroke. And then last night was wheelchair basketball, and all the way up till 9 o'clock. So they keep us busy.
And what are you doing to buff, you know, build up your endurance as far as, is it just actually getting out there and doing the training, or are there extra things that you're doing?
Well, this kind of came on suddenly for me, because I didn't join the WTU until kind of late, just before the game started. So I unfortunately didn't get a chance to, like, you know, do any kind of training up for it. it's been on the job training, so to speak. You know, it's all about doing it and learning as I go.
What's the very hardest thing you've had to overcome?
Hardest thing I had to overcome.
You know, to prepare yourself to compete.
That's tough. I don't know that anything necessarily has been terribly difficult to overcome, because for me, it's honestly mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds like a cliche, and I apologize for that. But where there's a will, there is a way. You know, and when you want to do something, you will find a way to make it happen.
Absolutely, even though it's cliche.
Struggle, but you'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, it's why it's so widely used, because it's so true. Where there's a will, there's a way. And what do you hope to achieve, Army Trials?
Well, it would be a true honor to be selected to go compete at the Warrior Games, of course. But what I'm really hoping to show on a personal level, I'm hoping to show the other soldiers, my family members, that you can overcome obstacles. You know, no matter how big they are, you just got to find a way and just push through it, you know?
That's great. That's a really great answer. So you win in the Army Trials, and are you competing in the games back in the June with people that don't have any kind of, I hate to say the word handicap. I don't know if there's a politically correct term, but, you know, that have two legs. Let's say someone who has, you know, their legs versus you having a prosthetic. Are you going to be competing against those, or is it still
no,
a group of? Okay.
No, ma'am. We're broke down into different categories based on our injuries.
Okay, gotcha.
A person may have all four limbs, but they may have, say, a spinal cord injury. And so that wouldn't be fair for that person to compete against somebody who doesn't have a spinal cord injury. You know
what
I mean?
Right.
So they're broke down by different kinds of categories as to what kind of injury you have.
I guess it was kind of a silly question, but I guess what they're doing is combining the regular Army games with the games that you're competing in, with the people that are dealing with injuries and illnesses and that kind of thing. So it's all happening at once, but they're separate categories. Okay. All right. What are your greatest skills? I see on your bio what you're swimming, you've got swimming, and you've got wheelchair basketball and volleyball. Is that correct?
Yes,
and shot put. Water polo. Oh, no, you did that in high school. So is swimming, shot put, and wheelchair basketball and volleyball what you're doing in the trials?
Yes, ma'am, plus the cycling and hand cycling.
And why did you pick those areas?
It looked exciting. It looked different. I'd never done shot put or discus. It looked kind of fun, so I wanted to just give it a shot.
And what do you think's your best? What do you think you're best at in all those categories?
I'll let you list. That's a tough one. I would probably actually say shot put and discus are my best events.
Okay. I can't even imagine. I have a production business as well, and I videotaped the Special Olympics, different kind of group of people. But it was one of the most amazing experiences in my life down there and watch those people compete. And I'm, like I say, it's a different group of people that aren't dealing with those types of challenges. But nevertheless, it was so inspiring. I just will always remember it.
Oh, absolutely.
So you think your greatest skill is shot put. And then what's it like to swim with a prosthetic? You got to tell me. I'm so curious.
You don't swim with a prosthetic on, ma'am, because it's electrical in nature. And so you swim without it.
Sorry for my ignorance on that.
No, you're fine, ma'am.
Okay, so you swim without it. And how does that affect your propulsion, your balance? Is it really a lot, mostly upper body, or is that one leg doing the work of two? Tell me about it.
Well, for me, it's a lot of upper body usage. The leg kind of gets forgotten about a little bit, and the coaches have to remind me, you know, kick with your stump, darn it. Don't just let it sit there. So, but for me, it's a lot of upper body strength, and the balance is a little affected because you don't have the leg. But interestingly enough, being in the water, it kind of actually balances you back out again to when you had two legs. The water kind of keeps you balanced, if that makes sense.
It does. I mean, you're buoyant. You would be a little buoyant in there. Mm-hmm. I also think it might be a little terrifying for people who didn't have the confidence, you know, that they could do it with one leg. So you've excelled in that. And what event do you swim?
The 50 and 100-meter freestyle, the 50-meter breaststroke and 50-meter backstroke.
That is fantastic. I would love to see that. Keon David sent me some pictures. I haven't had a chance to look at them yet, but this just sounds so incredibly inspiring. They're happening coming up this weekend, right? The games?
Yes, ma'am.
The trials,
okay. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
The 29th through second, I believe.
What are some of the thoughts that go through your head when you are out there competing against people that have challenges that are different than yours, maybe similar challenges, and it's almost like you'd want everybody to win, but you want to win, you know? And so what's it like? What's through your head?
Well, for me, there's a camaraderie that exists. Even though we're competing against each other, there's a brotherhood, a sisterhood, if you will. And along with that, you have a feeling of not being alone anymore. There's other people out there that are like you, that have injuries like yours.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real strong brotherhood that exists. And even though you do want to win, you know, you still want to be the best for your brother, you know?
Right. I imagine it's a completely different experience than, you know, people that don't have those types of challenges that they're, you know, I can see that. What's the most significant realization that's come to you because of your health challenge, this particular event that changed your life?
I'm sorry, would you repeat that, Mia?
What's the most significant realization of what happened to you with your leg? That aha thing, you know, that comes with traumatic events in our life?
I would say, ma'am, that I realize that I am stronger than I ever realized. That I, in the face of adversity, I didn't quit. And I learned that I was stronger than I ever thought I was. I also learned.
What about your overall happiness?
I'm a more content person, actually, now than I was a year ago when I lost a leg. I'm much more compassionate and understanding, and I feel more actually at peace with myself than I did before.
I can totally relate.
I think I'm a better father and a better husband as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I guess these things just happen to us for a reason, and we don't know all the answers. But when we grow from them, it's a good thing. Very good thing.
Absolutely.
Do you have a family, wife and children?
Yes, ma'am. I have my wife Heather, who's been married for 21 years, and our daughter Rebecca, who's 18, our son Ryan, who's 17.
Okay, two children, son and a daughter. And what do they think of your accomplishments?
They're really impressed. They're impressed, and they use it as motivation for them to be successful, which really makes me feel good.
You probably can't even imagine the impact you're making on your son and daughter with what
probably
you're doing
not.
Right now. That's going to be a lifelong thing that they're going to take with them, which is really a good... you know, some people would go hide in a corner, and other people would do what you're doing. You would strive for excellence over overriding it's almost like, do you think sometimes that, hey, there's really nothing wrong with me? I'm not different than anybody else. I might look different, but I'm really not different. Do you think that sometimes?
Well, in some ways I do, but I do realize that I do have certain disadvantages, you know. I have to have a little bit of help with some things. But, again, the necessity is another invention, so I have to get creative in how I'm going to do certain things. You know, like climbing the ladder to change a light bulb. You know, I have to be kind of creative and make sure I don't, you know, and be safe about it, too, at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm. And back to the Army, what you're doing in the Army. I'm backtracking a little bit. Did you say you're in the Guard or the Reserves right now, or are you actually active duty?
I'm active duty, ma'am.
Okay. So are you able to deploy?
Well, I'm still in the healing phase, ma'am, the medical phase of recovery, and so that hasn't been determined.
Okay. But if when you're done with that, you'd be able to deploy?
It's possible, yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, and right now, your station, you're based where?
At Fort Hood,
your
Texas.
Army? At where?
Fort Hood, Texas.
Fort Hood, okay.
Yes,
and you're a physician assistant?
Yes, ma'am.
Right now? Okay, yes. Physician assistant. Okay. Well, that's demanding on the legs. My son is a doctor, a surgeon, and he stands for hours. Does that ever bother you?
Some days it does. Some days are better than others, though.
I bet. Well, you know, this has been fantastic. I'm sorry for the technical error.
No problem, ma'am. It's been my honor.
I have one more question, but I apologize for that because, you know, I don't usually DVIDS is, I'm actually recording. DVIDS records it, and I do a backup recording, and usually I get a little clearer thing, but so I'm hoping the DVIDS is clear, but we'll get it. So my final question, unless you want to add something, which I'm perfectly happy to add, looking back one day, what are you going to take from your experiences in the Army and what will you leave behind?
Wow, good question. I hope to take, of the numerous experiences I had, leadership traits, ways to treat people, and learn how to be a better person. What I hope to leave behind is just that, you know, to show the people the right way to treat each other with dignity and respect and still be able to get the job done, you know? It's been an amazing 23 years. I have nothing to regret, you know?
Yeah, that's quite a legacy of service, and you're still going, you know. I don't know what the cutoff is in the Army as far as age. I think in the Marines it's like 40-something, except if you're high-ranking. I don't know what it is. But here you are, you know, 22-year, you know, active duty service, and you're still going, even with this. That's quite amazing, quite commendable. What would you say, one more question I just thought of, what would you say out of the entire 22 years has been the event that has impacted your mind the most?
Huh. That's a tough one, too. That's impacted my life, ma'am?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You said that the event that has impacted my life, ma'am?
Impacted you and your Army career. What event has impacted you as far as your leg, losing your leg is a big impact. But is there anything else beyond that just relates to your Army career that has impacted you that you will always, always think of?
Absolutely. My wife was about 7 months pregnant with our son at the time. This was 1998, early 98. And I had a field exercise to go in on to in a few months. And we ran into my battalion commander, and and there's some, and he explained, hey, listen, your husband's a medic, and we need him. But when you go into labor, here's my number, call me. He gave her his card. 2 months later, she goes into labor. She didn't want to call him, so she called our PA's wife, our physician assistant's wife, who then called the colonel. The colonel dispatched a helicopter to pick me up out of the middle of the woods in Alaska and fly me back 3 hours to the hospital so I could be part of my son's birth.
Wow.
And to me, that was the pure definition of leadership, taking care of soldiers.
That makes my
career.
That makes me get a lump in my throat. You know, I love the military, all branches. It's my passion to write their stories, and I just find that I just am continually impressed by the caliber of people that serve our country.
Thank you very much.
And I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Basically, I guess maybe I could just say thank you to my wife and my family. Without their support, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Well, I wish you huge success in these trials, and I'm going to want to know what happens for sure. So I'm going to have to get Kian Young at DVIDS presented the interviews to me. So I usually work with a PAO, and if you, you know, if I have any additional questions or I need a fact check, can you notify your relevant PAO and give them my information so we can set up a communication?
Let me get that. Yes, hold on.
I'll tell you what, I'll ask Keon to do it. Let me take that. I'll ask Keon to set all that up. Don't worry about it, because I'm going to want to follow what happens to you in the trials for sure. And also, if you're familiar with San Diego, then there's the UT, you know, owns a bunch of papers that call the Community Press, and that's where your story will be published. There's 5 different papers that I publish in. And then it also comes out online, so there's an online presence, so anybody can read it anywhere. And I'll work with your PAO and keep them posted on when the story is released, how to get, you know, I'll send them the link, and then I'll also pick up some hard copies. So you'll have a record of that.
Okay, and what was the paper again, ma'am? I'm sorry.
The Union Tribune is the main San Diego paper, but they also own a bunch of community papers called the Community Press. And they run along the coast. We're talking Del Mar, Solana Beach, Rancho Santa Fe, Encinitas, and Valley. So they all have their own papers, and my story is published in all those papers.
Oh, excellent. I remember the Union Tribune.
Yeah, still here.
I remember them. Excellent.
And then we can also try to get it in your hometown paper in Fort Hood. And also, I posted on social media and encourage, you know, I have my own distribution list, encourage anybody else to post on social media so that online presence is out there. The online presence is probably where, I mean, that's got the biggest opportunity for tons of readers, you know, to read it from all over the country. So as long as we can get the link out, get the word out to people, and I usually paste or post on Army Facebooks and wherever they'll let me, and then, you know, other social media. So we try to get out there as possible, and I'm also writing a book, and that's an option for you as well. We can talk about that if you're interested in being in my Patriot Profiles book, which will be a compilation of interviews that I've done over the years in a book form. So
I'd be honored.
Well, that'd be great. We can talk. I have a release that I have people sign allowing me the permission for the book. It's different than newspaper. And so I can work with your PAO on that. So, and my niche is active. So I only interview active duty people. And that's kind of my niche, which makes it unique. So So anyway, well, thank you very much, I'll get your PAO's name, and I'll work with him on as we go forward here.
That's great, ma'am. Thank you so very much. And again, I appreciate you taking your time.
Well, I appreciate you and your service to our country and your will to be excellent, no, despite the odds. So go get it.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.